Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to your show, Destination Health. I'm your host, Kim Cockerham. I'm a member of the Let's Trust team, and I thank you for being here today and joining together to say our health is important. Becoming healthy is the best decision you will ever make, and it is worth it, and I hope you know you are worth it. When we talk health, we're talking the whole you, okay? You're so much more than what you weigh, what you eat, how you exercise, so forth. It's just the whole person. And we just like to say, whether you're venturing down this road for the first time or if you've been at this thing called healthy living for a long time, we welcome you. We have so much to learn from each other, and that's what we are. You're part of a community that comes together to support each other, and like I said, we learn from each other, celebrate accomplishments, hold each other accountable. It's whatever you need. So we are going to get moving right away. This is going to be an exciting show, really one of those pivotal ones. And Alisa's working the show today, so press 1 if you want to have something you want to share, you have a question, a success, a challenge. We're here, okay? If we don't know, we always have people that have been through it and tried it, and they come on too. So press 1 and chat with Lisa. So at a team meeting that we had in Oregon last September, Kevin challenged us to create a movement. And although he encouraged us to do it in the next 24 hours, so we said this movement here is a few months in the making. But I want to share with you, and I hope you guys realize this. I'm so grateful to, you know, Kevin and Lisa and Aaron, the owners of this company. They're always open to ideas. They use a philosophy I hadn't heard before with a Disney room, you know, where you can just throw any idea in there without feeling being judged or criticized. It's all ideas. And Lisa even reminded me today that we are not a yes company. We aren't ones to just say yes sir, yes ma'am, just yes, yes, yes. They want us, and they want you, all of our listeners and members, to challenge the norm, to bring ideas, to stretch and stretch us, because that's how we all learn and grow. So, you know, this thing called health in general, I had come on board with Let's Truck Team in March of 2013, and I sent an email to those guys like in October because I was thinking about this. And again, they're always willing to listen to what we have to share. And so that kind of grew. And 2014 CMC, we knew as a company we were going to put some resources and time behind importance of health. And again, that's such a wide, you know, we say health is just such a big range of things. But we shared on stage actually right at the end there that we weren't sure where this road was going to take us, but to stay tuned and be ready to hop on this trip with us. So, you know, back to that whole movement thing, I just read, and it was pretty cool, that one way for a company to grow and be more part of fulfilling their customers, and we think of you guys, our tribe, needs to fulfill your needs is to ignite a movement by creating an experience that people are drawn towards, have an emotional connection to, and are passionate about. It comes down to the company's DNA, the people who support it, and how well they tell their story. You guys, you out there, are part of our DNA, this company's DNA. And you've helped form this show by sharing your successes and your needs, and let us know how we can support. Because when we're talking health, we're often at our most vulnerable. It's just so very, very personal. And, you know, we can feel like we're drowning in our own weaknesses and we feel so isolated, but, you know, it's truly those weaknesses and, more importantly, our strengths that we might not even see, that you guys might not see the strengths you have that bind us all together. So, you know, back to this team meeting in September, this Destination Health show was born. It took us forever to think of a name, but, and it was funny because Lisa, I think she was the big one that was like, you had to give a deadline, like 30 days. We had to lay it out. And that's the importance of writing things down, and we hear that all the time. So we put a date to it as November 9th, and you know, that date kept coming, but she pushed, and okay, she encouraged, and so we made this happen, and the show got started. And with that, again, I'm just so grateful because I feel like our electric team, all of you guys, we are growing this together, and it's evolving, and that's how things should be. It should evolve and grow and change and shift based on what needs are, what strengths are, and that's what we're doing. So you and all of us here have created this movement together, and I am excited to where it's going to go, and I hope you are too, because the possibilities, the hope of all of us living our most healthiest selves by banding together to learn from each other is just endless. So I am so glad you're here and so glad that we're doing this, and especially glad that Kevin is here today. We are going to chat a little bit more about this and share with you a little bit more about what I'm starting to talk about with this and where we're going to go. So Kevin, I hope I got that in a nutshell, and I'm excited to, have you share more about, especially from where you are and where we are as a company and where we're going to go with all this. Yep, can you hear me, Kevin? Yes, guys, hold on 1 second. He's coming on. So, anyways, until then, let me say, I just hope, I hope you all have had a great week. I down here in Florida, I just, like I said, we just moved here 2 weeks ago, and I got on with a running group. Somebody heard me as I was walking out of Starbucks talking to somebody else about, asking about biking. And so she shared about this group called Run Tampa. And, I was so nervous. And I set my clock the night before, and there were like 50 people there. But so they run very early down here because it's hot. And I'll tell you, I had to make the commitment to just get up and go. It scares me to think how close I was to not doing that, to tell you the truth, because of fear. First of all, my running's not bouncing back as much as I would like it to do, and it's meeting new people, it's running in this heat, and so it's that fear of failure, the fear of looking weak, and all that. But I'll tell you what, and that's one thing I want you guys to I hope you know, you
saw
people. Let me see, it's Kevin there. I think he just popped up. The fear of being judged. And that's one thing I hope you know, especially with this. And that's one thing I encourage you to always, always let go if that kind of sneaks in to, people judging if you're exercising around your truck or, eating differently than they are or talking about that. Hold strong and just keep moving forward. And I was so grateful I did because I met some wonderful people, and the run was pretty good. So we're going to get up again tomorrow and hit the road again. So here, I think we're good now. I think we're here good. So, Kevin, you there?
I am.
Oh, good.
Technical
there
difficulties, but I think we've got them fixed. The first thing
That's
I want to
okay.
say is that was such a great open. I had goosebumps.
Oh, thank you. It's just so real, isn't it? And you guys, great. I'm just so grateful for all of this and everybody.
I'm not sure if people really understand, when we said, and it was your idea. I mean, you've been into the health thing. You knew a lot about it. You got us encouraged and excited about it. And then we said, okay. And I was the one fighting this for years. I mean, we've been approached before, and I said, and I know it's important, and I said, look, we do business. We do numbers, we do maintenance, we do tires, and there are other people doing health. Let them do their thing. I'll do mine. And you were the one that, I won't say you pushed, you encouraged and said, we should talk about this more. So we said, okay, come up with a show. Well, that's easy to say. That is a lot of work to do. And you went back and you did that. And it's been absolutely amazing. And I will tell you that of all the years I've been doing this, of all the years we've been on the radio, of all the things we talk about, fuel mileage, tires, taxes, people's money, nothing has made big of a positive impact on as many people as you have. And bringing up the health topic and encouraging us to get on board with it, we did. And now I see it. I couldn't see it before. I thought, there's people doing it. It's not that big of a deal. But what I see now is that as a company, we have a responsibility to do this. There is nobody else positioned to do this as good as we can. That's not to take anything away from the other groups that are talking about health, but we have the reach, we have the following, we have the influence, we have the expertise, the people in the company, we have the passion for this. we have to do this. And I didn't see how big this really was, and you and I were talking about this earlier. This is really big. Big for the industry. It has to happen. You know, I have a new submission of my big mission, which is what I always talk about. My mission has always been to make the trucking industry a better place, to help each individual in the industry be better, and then that's the way the industry becomes better. But, you know, the new mission now as part of the big picture is I read all these statistics about how the trucking industry is even unhealthier than the general population, and we know all of the health problems going on. My new mission is to make the trucking industry healthier than the general population. We have a long way to go, but we could do that. We have focus, we have this reach, we have the knowledge, and we are just going to continue to grow this and expand this. And I want to let everybody know we're not moving away from business, fuel mileage, numbers. Company will always do that. We have all that infrastructure in place. We will continue to do that, but we have a new mission, and I'm excited about it. I want to be a big part of it, and this show is really the core of all that.
Yeah, that's cool, and you just said something. Dang it, Kevin. It was so good I got caught up in your words. Oh, what you said about, and you know what, I never thought of this before. You said to have the trucking industry actually be healthier than, like, general populations. And that was a paradigm shift there. Like, yeah, why not? Why not? You know, there's so many things that do, and I'm not in a truck, so I can't say. You were in trucks, so you know. But I've heard a lot of the drivers out there will say sometimes they have an easier time when they are on the road than when they're home because they can control what's in there, you know, that they have with them and can do certain things. So I'm not trying to weigh anything that way. But the thought that the trucking industry people could be even more healthy than general population is a very, very cool idea. I just absolutely love that.
Yeah, why shoot for being as good as they are? Why shoot for just trying to match their statistics? Why don't we shoot way beyond that? Let's make the trucking industry an example of what everybody else should strive for. And you just brought up a very good point, and I can address this because I did live this lifestyle. We could either choose to keep focusing on the negatives, which everybody knows. We've all been told it enough times. This is an unhealthy lifestyle. You sit too much. The food at truck stops is lousy. You know, you don't have access to a gym. We could keep focusing on that. Or we could turn this around and we could focus on the positives. And I know exactly what they are. I will tell you, when I'm home, or around any other people. We just had people over here, you know, we were doing some team meetings and we were working with some new partners. And one of the biggest challenges for me is I'm fairly extreme right now in my diet and everything else, and other people aren't. And I have to adjust to that. I mean, I can't just demand everybody eats the way I'm eating, and I have to adjust to that. And that means I either, you know, we have to figure out a way to feed, you know, two different meals or make adjustments or whatever it is. Now, and I can do that, but that's a struggle. It's something I have to deal with. You know, sure, I have access to a gym, but I also have a ton of distractions when I'm at home. We have construction going on, and our contractor and designer's in here every day with questions, and he wants to show me stuff, and that's a distraction. And neighbors know that we work at home, so they think they must think we're retired. You know, can you watch our dog? Can you make sure this package gets picked up? And you know, I have distractions because I'm sort of running for city council. So there are all these distractions when I'm here that yes, I could get to the gym, but it's not easy. I have a lot of other things going on. Again, the food, it's not just me. Now, when I was in the truck, or even this last time when I was on the road and I was by myself, I didn't like being by myself, but rather than focus on the negative, I looked at the positive. I have to be here. I'm by myself. But that also means that I only have to make the food that I'm eating right now. And there are no real distractions. I'm not at home. Nobody knows me here. when I'm done working, I can go work out. When I get up in the morning, I can go for a walk. So I actually found when I was on the road driving full time that it was easier for me to read and study and research and work out and get a good long walk because there were no other distractions. There was no, you know, Boy Scouts or dance recitals or, and again, we could focus on the fact that you're missing those things, but you've decided that this is your career. So you've got to deal with that. You've got to get home for them when you can. When you can't, instead of focusing on the negative, say, okay, I can't go to Cub Scouts or the dance recital. That means I have time to read and learn and take responsibility for my own health.
Exactly. Exactly. I love that. And I think that is so empowering. As soon as you make that switch and thinking that way, oh, my gosh, it's endless. So that is so cool. I'm so glad you said that about making them even healthier. That's so cool.
Yeah, and that, you know, that gets you excited, you know, to say, well, we want to get back to where we used to be. We want to be at least as healthy as everybody else. That almost sounds like a chore. But to say, what if we made the trucking industry an example of how healthy you could be? That gets me excited.
Yeah, that's very exciting. So we had a chance to chat before the show, which was wonderful because like I said, this show's evolved, and one of the things that I so admire about you and wish I could glean some of the way you're reading and the way you retain things, and you have said on your show a couple times about, and it's true, you read with the heart, too, the heart and the desire. You know you're reading to then share it, to then teach with it. And that's a different way of just reading for entertainment or something like that. You do that with that purpose, and it's such a gift. And I have a challenge with it, to tell you the truth, finding the time, you know, for the time to research and do that. And that's why I'm excited for this show and for the knowledge we're going to be able to share, that you're going to be able to bring even more of that to this. So can you share a little bit more about that, Kevin?
Yeah, and this is another thing that I didn't see coming. I mean, I've always known that I love to read. I love to do research. I love to learn. I think that's really what it comes down to. I love to learn. I get excited about learning something new. And then as soon as I learn it, I just want to share it. And I've always been that way. It's just my nature. It's what I do. And I find that if you do things that you like, every day is just a lot more enjoyable. So I feel pretty blessed that the things that I like to do, learn, and share are very constructive, very positive things. So, but I didn't foresee how much I was going to get into this. I mean, I've always kind of dabbled in health. And, you know, if you would have asked me a year ago, I wouldn't have called what I had been doing my whole life dabbling. You know, I owned a gym. That was my first business, was a gym. And, you know, I coached wrestling, which is an extremely physical sport. It has a lot to do with weight management and strength. And, you know, I coached that for years. I participated. I stayed, you know, up on nutrition. But when I look back now, I kind of consider that just dabbling. And I didn't foresee that I would get so into this. I mean, the fact that I wake up at 5 in the morning and I'm excited about I have a new book about cholesterol to start today is just a little odd probably to most people. But I get excited. I mean, I go to bed at night thinking, okay, 7 hours of sleep or so and I can get up and start reading again. Because there's so much good information, new information. Some of it's old, a lot of it's new. People don't know this stuff. The doctors don't know this stuff. And exciting because I think we've all been led to believe that, well, this is just a part of our lifestyle. You're not active enough anymore. You know, it's the food, it's your environment, you're getting older. And we've all come to accept that this is just our lot in life when it comes to our health. You're going to get older. You're going to get these diseases. You're going to get sick. And we fail to realize that's not normal. That's not the way our bodies were ever designed to function. We don't get diseases naturally. If you look at wild animals, I think they're one of the best examples. wild animals don't get diseases. They don't get cavities. They just, they live their lifespan pretty healthy right up till the very end, and then they age pretty quickly and they die. And we don't know what causes that. That's one of the big mm-hmm. medical mysteries. We don't really know why we age and why we die. But when you look at all the examples, we shouldn't deteriorate for 40 years before we die. That's kind of what happens to us as humans. You know, we tend to peak in like our 20s at some point. And then in our 30s, we start thinking, well, you know, this is just normal. And then when we're 40, our eyesight goes. And then we're 50, we have high cholesterol and we're on a couple different prescriptions. And then in our 60s, our doctor becomes our best friend. And that's not normal. But it's been the norm for all of our generation and some of the generation before us, but it's not right. And I'm so excited because the potential that I'm learning of, that we can be healthier in our 50s than we were in our 20s once we learn this stuff. And it just gets me so excited that I've been sharing with you that I have a tremendous amount of time to research. I've part of where I've been able to put myself in the company, and as the company grows, I've been able to take a lot of my responsibilities and give them to other people, you know, and that's why we have employees and a team. And I've been able to say, I'm going to dedicate the majority of my day to reading and researching, and I consider that my job. So it's not like I have to work 10 hours a day doing stuff and then find time to research after that.
Mm-hmm.
I've committed my work day to research. That's my job. That's what I do. And I'm excited about becoming a bigger part of Destination Health, the show. And we want to take, you know, this show to Sirius and XM and make it its own show, instead of now where I'm trying to split a lot of the time, you know, on my current show on Sirius XM, which I love doing. But I'm excited about getting more airtime and being able to cover a topic that's, not only is it really important, but our business topics really reach a small percentage of the industry. Owner-operators is really who we focus on. And I know we have a lot of drivers that listen to the show, and I'm excited that we now have something that, as a team, we can bring to an even bigger audience.
Yeah, yeah. It makes such a big impact. You know, that's what I love that, and I'm so grateful that you have. Because, I mean, you say that so easy, you know, that you've dedicated that time to research. That's a big commitment, though, to sit and research and read and learn. So I am grateful that you do that, because I don't have the concentration or the patience sometimes to do that. So I am grateful you are, because you're showing us that we don't have to just accept that we're going to go downhill after their 20s, you know, and that's what happens. You kind of do that. And I love these athletic, you know, analogies, you know, like the 4-minute mile, that they thought people's heart would explode if they ever tried to do that. Well, then Robert Bannister comes and does it, you know, and now it's a norm almost, you know what I mean? It's all those things through life that, and so it shows, you're showing us that we don't have to accept not feeling less than the best we can. And we have so much of that in our control. And I think that was the coolest thing I'm getting to from your research and what you're sharing, is that, you don't have to accept. You can grab hold of this yourself. You can go learn. If you like reading as much, a lot of you like reading or learning, this too. But knowing that you and then us as a company are dedicating more of the show to that, and that you're going to come on, you're going to do so much more with the stuff that you're learning too. So it's exciting.
Yeah, you know, you and I talked about that on one of the earlier shows about the 4-minute mile, how it seems so far out of reach, and people tried for years and years and years. And then, and I don't know the exact numbers, but when he did it, within like the next 12 months, a whole bunch of people did it. And what changed? Mm-hmm. We didn't get better shoes or, you know, nothing changed except our belief. And it was just such an amazing example of how powerful our mind is and how powerful mm-hmm. our beliefs are, that once these other people saw it could be done, they did it. It's just so amazing and so powerful, and there are just so many examples of that. And I want people, and I know I get very extreme about this, and some of the ideas seem extreme, but it's no more extreme than that, or some of the other things we see. It's only extreme until it becomes the norm, and then it's not extreme anymore.
Yeah. I want to do that mind-blowing thing.
Yeah, I was talking to Lisa earlier, and I just happened to catch something, and I think you might have saw this or you were looking for it. I guess there was something on Facebook that somebody wanted to turn me into SiriusXM because I was giving medical advice or something.
Yeah.
Where have we come in a society where as individuals who are willing to go out, do the research, do the reading, do the testing, and then share our results, we don't either believe them or it's so bad we're going to turn them into somebody, and yet we will blindly follow a doctor when he says, take this drug. We don't go research it. We don't question them. Have we become such lemmings and such sheeple that we just blindly listen to any doctor, and yet when there's clear evidence pointing in a different direction, we disregard it and then want to turn somebody in because we think they're doing something bad. That's crazy.
Right. You're right. Isn't it? And it's just that whole mentality, you know, and they don't want to accept that this what you're sharing might be true. It might be good because it's easier to sometimes accept that, and I don't downgrade it. You know, sometimes we have to take medication, but you know that it's easier to pop the pill and saying that there's a different way. And that's what this has evolved to, too, is just showing how there's such a different way to take ownership of our health.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is, I take medical discussions extremely seriously. I mean, I take my responsibility on the air extremely seriously. I don't lightly tell somebody to go out and spend $1,000 or $5,000 on their business without understanding why I'm recommending it and explaining to them, because that's serious. That's people's money. It's their business. I've been giving what's been called extreme advice on the business side for years, but I also have a lot of great results. People who do it, and it works, and that's how I've been able to build the following and the influence. And this is no different. It's just more important because it really is our health and our life and our body, and I take it very seriously. And this isn't something, you know, I got off of somebody's blog. This is well-documented medical research from doctors, from scientists, from researchers. I've double and triple checked the material. Sometimes I will follow 10 sources backwards to make sure this stuff is legitimate. So I am, when I give some of this advice, I am totally confident that I'm not doing anybody any damage. I am giving them advice that will help them. There are some warnings. I've been very clear that if you are under a doctor's care and on any kind of medication, you can't listen to what I say or what anybody else says without working through those issues with a doctor. Now, if you go to your doctor and you're on 3 diabetes medications and you say, hey, this crazy guy on the radio says, if I do this keto thing, I can go off my medication. What do you think? And the doctor says, absolutely not. Diabetes can't be cured. This is something you have to live with. Now, my recommendation is go get a second opinion. Go find a doctor who might believe something different, who might have the same credentials. They're an MD. They're a practicing physician. They've been doing it for decades. But there are lots of doctors out there with a totally different opinion. Don't take my word for it. Don't take your doctor's word for it. Get a tiebreaker.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you do say that all along. It's the same thing with health, so. But we have so much that we can take control of ourselves. So Well, Kevin, I'm excited. I'm really excited for this. And, we just chatted before the show, you guys, so we're not even, 100% sure how everything's going to go down, but you're going to be with us on this. So, but Kevin, I want to share, Lisa had shared too, we've got some great callers out there, and there's one I want to bring on here as well that we, let's see here, that I think you're going to enjoy chatting with here. So are you good with that? Bring on some callers?
Yeah, let's do that.
That sounds good. Okay, we're going to head off to Texas. Welcome to the show, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Great.
I just want to share with you, I've been doing the keto diet that Kevin talks about, and really only been really sick and do it hard. Like this month before that, I was kind of doing the vegetarian thing, but I guess I lost 34 pounds in the last 3 or 4 months. I just went to the doctors on Tuesday, and I got some really good news. They took me off of my metformin for diabetes, one of my blood pressure medications, and my cholesterol and triglyceride medications. So I'm really excited, and I feel great. So,
wow.
Just to show you this stuff works.
Yeah,
that is, even I don't think there will ever come a time when I'm not going to be amazed by these kind of results. And I keep hearing them, but I am just absolutely amazed because, no matter how safe they make a drug, all drugs have side effects. And many times we don't even know what the real long-term effects are. So I am just so excited when somebody can drop any medication. When I hear stories like you of people being able to drop 2 or 3 different prescriptions, that's life-changing.
Yeah, definitely.
Congratulations.
I feel great. I'm full of energy. Thank you.
You did the hard work. That's for sure.
I have a question about that for you, Kevin.
Sure.
As far as the carbs and protein and fats go, I know you want to try and eat the most fats you can, but there are a number you need to try and
what?
Kim, were you able to hear him? He's breaking up on
mine. Yeah,
no,
you're
just
breaking
me?
Up there, Mark. No, you're breaking up a little bit, Mark. Can you say that again?
I was wondering what the number of protein, how many grams or percentage of protein you should aim for per day, what you should keep that number under.
Okay, so let me just give you some rough guidelines, because one of the things I'm finding about all of these numbers is that everybody is so individual that the real way to be successful behind this is to kind of dial in your own numbers. And there are a couple ways we can do that. We can do it strictly by how we feel. If you have that energy and your appetite is under control, so you're not getting a bunch of weird cravings and you start sleeping better and you come down off these medications, those are all positive signs that you're doing things right. We can also measure ketones, which is one of the ways to know for sure that you're burning fat. We can do it with the urine strips, the blood strips, the breathalyzer, whatever it is. But I'm finding that even though I love having those numbers and I'm taking blood tests 10 times a day and blowing in this breathalyzer every 30 minutes, that I could take all of that away and I could still tell you when I was in ketosis or not. I can do it just by the way I feel. So there are no hard and fast numbers, but I'll tell you how we approach this, especially in the beginning, and especially if you've had diabetes, pre-diabetes, any issues with blood sugar. In the very beginning, you want to cut your carbs as low as you can comfortably tolerate. So if that means cutting all the way down to nothing but 10 grams a day, what I've found is that seems to work really well for people to jumpstart the process. Now, if you cut out a bunch of carbs and you're getting headaches and you have no energy, we might want to ease into it a little bit more. And then, so that'll take care of the carbs. In the beginning, just keep them low as you can tolerate. The protein is actually the trickiest part of this whole diet. this is the one I think that messes the most people up. And I have found that if I try to go too low in carbs, I tend to overdo the protein. It is very easy to overdo the protein on this diet. So you have to try to seek out foods that are higher in fat than protein, and that's pretty difficult. Most of our sources of fat also are sources of protein, and they tend to really lean heavily towards the protein side. Kim has a really good number to help you measure the protein. So I'm going to let her come in with that number. Kim, go ahead with that. And that's a great guideline to get somebody started.
Yeah, and it's a guideline too, Mark. So and I found like this works pretty well for me. And it's basically taking your ideal weight, where you want to get your ideal weight you want, and you divide it by 2.2. That gives you your weight in kilograms. So then you can multiply that times either 0.8 or just stay at 0.1. So that can give you an amount. That can work, and I think we just lost Mark. So, but that's a really good guideline for protein. Your ideal weight times divided by 2.2 gives your weight in kilograms, and then 0.8 to 1. Now, sometimes if you are a big-time exerciser, big-time runner, you can go a little bit above that as well, but find what works for you, but use that as a great guideline. But I agree with you, Kevin, like that when you cut those carbs too low, you find you end up having more protein then to take care of your hunger and stuff. And so it's a balance.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the numbers you gave are a great starting point. Everybody's a little different, but that formula almost works right to the letter for me. Like my ideal weight right now, I'm right around 150. I wouldn't mind being about 170 as long as it's all muscle. That'll probably take me several years, but that's kind of my goal, is to maintain my current body fat and just keep adding muscle mass. But at 150, you know, if we do the math, I'm around, 75 kilos, pretty close. Be right in there somewhere. And then if we use the 1 gram per kilo, I should stay somewhere between 75 and 100 grams of protein a day, and that's almost perfect. If I go more than 100, it starts to knock me out of ketosis, because if you're low sugar but high protein, your body will just start converting the protein to glucose, and I can see it. I watch it happen in my blood sugar. I watch it happen in my ketones. So even when I work out fairly heavy with weights, 100 grams is still plenty. I mean, I have no trouble recovering. I can see the muscle growth. And if I go, it has been the biggest mistake I've made over time, is that it is so easy to overdo that protein.
Because, especially with the meat and stuff, you're getting some good protein in there. And eggs and
I'm surprised that, you know, I've always read labels, but one of the things I started looking at now that I've never really looked at before, because I'm trying to get more fat and less protein, I keep looking at labels, and it's hard to even find a one-to-one ratio, like 7 grams of fat, 7 grams of protein. If I can find a food like that, I'll eat it. But what I would really like to find is 7 grams of fat to about 3 grams of protein, or 3.5. That would be a much better ratio for me, but that's hard to find. There aren't many foods that have more fat than protein. So you've got to start looking at different cuts of meat, like really fatty cuts, like even bacon. I mean, it's loaded with protein and doesn't have as much fat as we think it does. Liver, I almost fell over the other day. I thought all organ meats were fatty. So I was eating liver and adding liver to my diet because it's crazy off the charts loaded with nutrients. So like we've been told, you know, if you want vitamin A, eat carrots. Well, you've got to eat a giant bag of carrots to get 100% of your protein for the day, or I'm sorry, your vitamin A, and you'd be getting so much sugar it would be off the charts. On the other hand, 3 ounces of liver, 3 ounces, has over 200% of your vitamin A for the day. So,
oh, wow.
It's got all kinds of other stuff that you can't get anywhere else. But what I didn't realize was that a serving of liver has 21 grams of protein and only 3 grams of fat.
Oh, wow. I would never guess that either.
Yeah, so what I've decided is I'll eat like 3 ounces of protein twice a week. And on those days, I have to really kind of cut back on my other protein intake. But it's worth it because it's such a great source of nutrients. But again, by measuring all these numbers, I'm learning that a couple ounces of liver in a day, you'll knock yourself out of ketosis just on the protein alone.
Okay, yeah. Good stuff. Fascinating stuff. And like you said, it's mostly learning by doing the work.
You know, I think that's why I'm so excited. You know, this mm-hmm. isn't stuff that is just known. I mean, I've tried to go out to find some resources to verify what I'm learning by doing my own testing, and they are really, really scarce. You know, if you go ask somebody, you know, I've been measuring some kind of weird blood sugar things going on, and there's nobody to go to for advice. It's such new territory that I just have to kind of interpret the results myself. My fasting blood sugars went up when I started on this diet, which on the surface would sound like a bad thing. And if I were to go to any normal doctor, they would tell me it's a bad thing. But I've done enough research to know your fasting blood sugar being at 115, even though it's out of the normal range, isn't hurting anything. What they're worried about is most people with a fasting blood sugar of 115, when they eat, it will elevate up to 180, 190, 200. That's a really bad thing.
Right.
But if you're in ketosis and your fasting blood sugar is 115, when I eat my typical meal, my blood sugar actually goes down into the 80s. That is a really, really healthy response as far as blood sugar goes, but it's so far out of the norm that it's hard to find anybody. You know, doctors are just like freaked out, you know. If I went to a doctor right now, they'd want to put me on diabetic medication, which is insane.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And then the cycle begins. Yeah.
Crazy. So crazy stuff.
Crazy. Yeah. So, okay. Well, hey, we're going to head here to Iowa real quick. And not real quick. Owen, you can take as long as you want. So, Owen, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Good.
So my question is that I've read recently about the technique of grounding to the earth and was wondering if that truly works, and it seems like it does. I've been trying it the last couple of weeks. And then also I've heard that you can buy mats to try and simulate this effect, and wondering whether those work and whether they're worth the cost.
Well, great question, Owen, and I think I've mentioned this, but very, very briefly, and I haven't had any questions yet about it, so I'm glad you asked. This is one of the areas that he did a lot of research on, and it's one of those things that when I first heard it, I thought, oh boy, here we go again with another one of these wacky medical ideas. You know, we've had so much stuff over the years, the alkaline water, and it looks like it makes sense, but then it turns out it really doesn't. And I thought this was going to be the same thing. But the more research I did, the more I started thinking, this really makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of documentation about this, good medical research. And then I, like you, I tried it. And I did go buy one of the grounding mats. I own one. And they do work. And grounding does work. And the quick background behind this is that we can use the same analogy here that we can use in our diet. The healthiest diet we can eat is the diet we ate a million years ago or 100,000 years ago. We didn't have diseases back then. So then we start looking, okay, what else has changed? Well, here's a big one. We're all deficient in vitamin D. It's because we spend all day indoors. A million years ago, we lived outside. You know, why are we so afraid of skin cancer all of a sudden when for a million years we lived out in the sun, and if we were in a hot environment, we didn't really wear clothes. How come we didn't? How come people weren't healing over from skin cancer back then? So we have to look at what changed and why are we so afraid of being out in the sun? Why do we need this grounding thing? Well, we need it because very few people are ever in contact with the earth anymore. We go outside, we wear shoes that have rubber soles, plastic soles. We spend our time indoors, totally disconnected from the earth, when for millions of years we spent virtually every waking and sleeping moment connected to the earth. We used to sleep on the earth. We used to walk on the earth. We used to do it barefoot. Even when we first started making foot coverings, what did the Native Americans make their shoes out of? Leather. Leather is a great conductor of electricity. Rubber and plastic are great insulators of electricity. So grounding is a very, very natural state. It's what we should be doing. And what happens is you can measure the surface of the earth. It has electrons. Nobody would ever dispute that. That's a scientific fact. When we touch that surface with our bare skin, whether it's our feet, or laying in the grass, whatever it is, those electrons transfer to our body. Our whole body runs on electricity. And those electrons are the same as antioxidants in our diet. When we talk about vitamin E being an antioxidant, what antioxidants do is they counteract free radicals. Free radicals are the cells running around in our body creating havoc and destroying our cells. And there's no way to get away from those. Our modern life makes them even worse. Electricity from AC sources, computer screens, cell phones, refrigerators, air conditioners, I could go on and on and on. There are all these sources of free radicals. They're in our food, they're in our diet, they're in our air, they're in our water, they're in the electricity around us. And we need to be able to counteract those free radicals, and we can do it with diet, a diet that's high in antioxidants, natural food. We can also do it by absorbing these electrons from the ground. So the more time we can get outside, bare feet, roll around in the grass, walk in the sand, walk in the grass, even concrete is okay, not asphalt, but concrete will conduct the electrons not as well. If we really want to amplify the effect, go out and walk in wet grass, like in the morning when there's dew or after a rain. If you the absolute best way to pick up electrons is walking on the beach or in the shallow water. Salt water conducts electricity, you know, better than almost anything. And we wonder why you go on vacation, you spend a couple days walking on the beach, and you feel amazing and you don't want to go back to your real life. Well, some of it is you were soaking up a lot of vitamin D and you were getting electrons from walking in salt water. Does that all make sense?
It does. That's what I was just curious as to, it seems like it's working, but whether it's, you do more research on this than I do. So
it is working. It is a natural state, and it is something we should all strive to get more of. And then let me give you the idea behind the grounding mat. So the best way to do this is to get out, like I said, get in the grass, get in the water, get in the sand, go barefoot, take your clothes off, not all of them because you'll get thrown in jail, but, you know, expose as much skin as you can. But the other thing that we can do, these grounding mats, they're very simple, really. All they do is they have a cord that only plugs into the grounding prong on your wall socket in your house. You know, you have three prongs, as long as your house is fairly modern. You would have grounded outlets, and that bottom half-round prong is the ground. And what that means is literally all of those outlets are connected to the earth. That's what grounding means when we talk about an electrical ground. We're connected to the earth. And you can plug into that ground, and this mat has a bunch of filaments in it, and that then grounds you to the earth if you touch that mat. So people who work at a desk all day can lay that grounding mat on their desk so that their arms are in contact with it all day. when you sleep at night, if you sleep on this mat, you're literally grounding yourself the whole time you sleep. Now, I have a question that I haven't had time to research yet, and I need somebody who knows more about electricity than I do, because I've come across a conundrum. I have this mat. I was using it at home. When I first took it into my RV, and I have grounded outlets on my RV, and as soon as I went to plug it in, something dawned on me. How the hell can my outlets in an RV be grounded? Because the only thing touching the earth is rubber tires, and rubber is a huge insulator. So I tested all my outlets, and they are grounded, but I don't know how. So I have to ask somebody that, because I don't know how you can be grounded in a vehicle, and it just must be something I'm missing.
So you can plug those mats into an inverter as long as it has the ground plug in the truck, basically?
Yeah, and, you know, if you buy, I mean, I bought my mat from Mercola, which is the doctor that I talk about all the time. He's got a great website, so it's Mercola.com. And when you buy the mat from them, it actually comes with an outlet tester, so you can plug it into any outlet, and it will tell you whether or not the ground is good. So I used that tester in my RV, and it shows that it's good, but I can't wrap my head around how it's good.
I have no idea on that one. So those are my only questions. So thank you very much for your help on this and for what you guys do.
So, well, thank you.
Thanks, Owen. You too. Be safe. Have a good weekend. Kevin, once again, this is a whole new thing. I hadn't heard of it. I mean, I had a mentor years ago. This was a business mentor that would tell me to do that every day, go out and just stand out in nature, and that's, you know, and then what you're talking about, and the feeling that gave me then, you know, just the energy you get from it, I, you know, believe that 100%, and then I did not know that there was, like, a grounding mat, and that, what a cool practice to put in play. It's just real and natural, so awesome.
Yeah, There are actually two documentaries that have been created about this. And if you go on Amazon, I don't think I've been able to find them anywhere where I could download them or stream them. But I actually have them on DVD. You can buy them at Mercola's site. You can buy them on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And they're really interesting, well-done documentaries about this phenomenon. But it's another one of those things that at first I thought, oh boy, here we go again. And then started reading it, it started making so much sense. And then I found the research behind it. And this is a legitimate, thing. It can be measured. We know the electrons are there. We know the electrons are good for our body. They do counteract free radicals. And then there's the personal experience. You go do this and you just feel better.
That is so cool. One over. And I hope everybody, this is what I jot down. I want to go learn more about this now. So I hear you talk about something. I want to go learn more about it. So that's what's so exciting about sharing here. Cool.
Yeah,
well,
there's another term I want people to be aware of. It's mostly referred to as grounding, but I've also seen it referred to as earthing. So if you see either one of those terms, grounding or earthing, they're really talking about the same thing. And like I say, there's two different DVDs that I'm aware of. There might be more, but there's two documentary movies about this that'll tell you everything you've ever wanted to know about it.
Cool. So is this something you put into practice daily, weekly, or, you know, you feel like you need
daily.
It, so you go daily?
Daily. Yeah, and, you know, now I combine a couple things all at once to be, you know, time efficient. So usually sometime between noon and 3, which is, in my part of the world, that would be considered what's called solar noon. So noon with the sun isn't always noon on the clock, depends on where you live. But you want to get out when the sun is at its apex, when it's at its peak. And you've got several hours there for two reasons. The more direct the sunlight comes down, the more of the UVB rays we get, which is what helps us develop the vitamin D. The best vitamin D you can possibly get is from your own body, from sunshine. But early in the morning or late in the day, you tend to get more of the rays that could cause cancer, potentially, and less of the rays that produce vitamin D. So the closer to solar noon, the better. So I go outside with nothing on but a pair of shorts, you know, no shirt, no socks, no, you know, no long pants unless it's really cold. Try to soak up as much sunshine as I can, and I walk barefoot out in the grass. I try to go out early in the morning if there's dew, and any time I can be near water or sand, I try to spend as much time outside. Go lay in the grass, you know, soak up some sun on one side of your body and soak up electrons from the other side. And I make sure I do this every day.
You know what? That's what you just brought us on to, because that's probably a pretty cool thing. And I wonder how many drivers, how many of you guys out there actually get to put your feet in the grass. You know, you're just driving so much, you're in your truck, you're on the road and truck stop. I hope you do that. See how that feels next week, you know. Take off your shoes and walk around in the grass a little bit and see how it feels. Stand there and just take it all in.
Well, you know, think about even the average American. Again, I don't even know that
the drivers
are at much of a disadvantage here. It's just everybody. You know, the average American wakes up early in the morning, puts on shoes, and goes out, gets in their car, drives to work, spends 8 to 12 hours at work, comes home, walks in the house, don't take off your shoes till you walk in the house. And how many people go days and days and days without, or weeks, without ever being outside in contact with the earth?
That is so true. Huh. Okay, after the show, I'm barefoot outside.
There you go. I was
this is different,
right before
this
the show.
Is different grass.
And I, you know, most days, just because, I mean, I'd love to just go hang out outside, you know, and if I can, I do. But on most days, I mean, I've got a schedule I've got to stick to. I've got work that has to be done. I have shows and conference calls and all kinds of things. But I make it a point that I set a 30-minute timer, and I spend at least 30 minutes a day out in the sunshine, bare feet, connected to the earth, getting the vitamin D and the electrons.
Good. That's a good goal. That's a good goal. Okay, I'm on it.
Well,
okay,
and
hey,
let me give you another. Let me give you one more example, because this is a personal example. I'm very fair skinned, and all my life I've been warned against sunburns. I've been told you've got to use sunscreen, and intuitively, I got to a point in my life where I started questioning that. I thought, you know, I don't know how much sense this makes, because if I go outside with no sunscreen on 15 minutes and I can have a sunburn. I mean, it could be that quick when the sun's intense for me. But if I put on this chemical all over my skin, I can stay out there for 10 hours and not burn. But is that really a good thing? And what I got thinking of is, what if this chemical is blocking the rays that cause me to burn, but not really blocking everything that could give me skin cancer? I'd never know it. So I stopped doing that. I stopped using sunscreen and started using common sense. If I'm out in the sun so long that I'm starting to burn, isn't that my natural warning that I should get into the shade and get out of the sun? And what we've started doing is that we block all of our natural warnings that something has gone wrong, and then it allows us to do even more damage. We feel a little bit of pain, and we run to the medicine cabinet, and we take a painkiller, and then we keep doing what we were doing that caused the pain. The pain is an indication we've done damage. We need to do something different. The sunburn is an indication I've been in the sun too long. So the interesting thing now is, because I understand the vitamin D thing, I started going out for 5 minutes in the beginning, and then I upped it to 10, and then I upped it to 15. And here I am, for the first time in my life, I have a tan. And now I don't burn nearly as... Now I can stay outside for an hour if I need to notice, hey, you know, you're starting to tingle a little bit. This is probably too much sun. And I move back into the shade, or I go back inside. But that is such a much more natural way than what I've been doing my whole life. And I just hope, you know, I haven't done so much damage that I can't undo it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. That's a good way to look at it. Again, another way to look at it and just pay attention, huh? Good grief. Good stuff. Well, hey, we're going to go to Chicago. We're going to welcome Chicago.
Hello.
There we go. How are you, Scott? Can you hear us?
I'm doing good. Yes.
Good. Well, thanks for calling
in
and sharing.
Everything has gone really well. I just wanted to call in and let you know. I've been monitoring my blood pressure, and I went from almost losing my license, and I'm down to an athlete's blood pressure now.
Oh, my goodness. That's fabulous.
Yeah,
that's
and I know it's amazing. I thought there was something wrong with my machine, so... I ended up using someone else's, and it was still the same, you know, but it was just a little bit different. But, I couldn't believe it. Just amazing.
That is tremendous.
And I also wanted to say that statin, I was listening to you earlier, my doctor put me on that. I took it for 2 days, and I threw it in the garbage.
Good for you.
Every time I would touch something with my fingers, it felt like pain was shooting through my hand. And I knew right away it was that's what it was, you know. So I threw it in the garbage. And then the very next day, I still had a little bit of pain. And then that afternoon, late in the afternoon, it all went away.
Well, good for you. Congratulations. And you know how bad this is I have heard from people that have said when they refuse to take these drugs, their doctor refused to keep seeing them.
No, my doctor is a really, really good doctor. If I have anything wrong, he sits down and listens. He'll work with me. He always asks me,
good.
What can I do for you?
Good.
So, I mean,
good.
When I called him, I even called him and, you know, I left a message and, you know, he called me back and he said, should we try another one? And I said, no, I'm totally good with that. I don't need to take that stuff because, you know, I just don't like all those warnings and side effects and everything else. So, you know, I did it only because he kind of recommended it. But, you know, he didn't give me any trouble at all when I threw it in the garbage.
And that's good. Hey, and you know what I've found, and it's a shame. Our doctors are overworked. They're overburdened with regulation. They have to fight the whole healthcare system and the insurance system, and they don't have a lot of time to stay up. And unfortunately, most of what is being passed off as continuing education for doctors is really nothing but huge marketing propaganda from the drug company. So the doctors are given these studies, and let me just give you one way that they absolutely skew the statistics. And once you know this, you think, oh, my God. So let's say they do this study, and they study 2,000 people for 2 years, and they watch what happens if they have elevated cholesterol. So they do this study. They find 2,000 people with elevated cholesterol. They watch them for 2 years. And 3 of them die from a heart attack. So now they go back and they say, okay, let's take another 2,000 people with elevated cholesterol, and we will give them a statin drug, and we'll watch them for 2 years. And these are actual numbers that I'm giving you right now. This is a study that gets talked about all the time. So in the next study, after 2 years, only 2 people died of a heart attack. So if you don't do anything, 3 people die out of a heart attack. The other 1,997 people with high cholesterol were just fine. 3 of them died from a heart attack. You give them this drug that has horrible side effects, and it's outrageously expensive, and 2 die instead of 3. Now, those aren't very impressive results, are they?
No.
But you know how they report it? And this is legitimate, unless, you know, but if you understand the numbers, they report it as whatever the drug was, Zocor. Zocor reduces your chance of heart attack by 33%. And that's a legitimate number because The difference between 3 out of 2,000 and 2 out of 2,000 is about a 33% increase. But when you understand the real numbers, only one less person died. But forget about the people who died. Over 1,900 had no adverse effects whatsoever. But that's the statistics we hear. Oh, you should be on a statin because they improve your chances of not dying from a heart attack by 33%. But that is a very, very misleading number.
Yeah, I knew right away because what happened was I stopped taking it. I took it at first, and then I stopped taking it, and then I took it again because I wanted to see if that was the problem. And that's how I realized that that was the problem. So once I threw it in the garbage, then I was good to go. But another thing, the other day I walked into my company up in New York State there, and I haven't been up there, you know, for a couple of months. And first thing the head mechanic up there says, "Wow, you dropped some pounds."
Nice.
Excellent.
Doesn't that make, that just makes you feel really good.
Congratulations on taking responsibility for yourself, doing a little self-testing, figuring out what the problem was, and going back to your doctor and saying, this isn't going to work for me. And by the way, you are 100% right. Muscle, joint, and sensitivity pain is the single biggest complaint about statin drugs. And those are very short-term. They happen quickly.
Oh, yeah, it was very painful. It was very painful. Like, if you went to touch something, it was like needles sticking in your finger.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, the disease that they're trying to prevent. See, high cholesterol is not a disease. High cholesterol, that's not a disease. There's nothing wrong with having high cholesterol. It's supposed to be in our body. The problem was when they made the false connection between high cholesterol and heart disease. So what we're really trying to prevent by lowering cholesterol is heart disease, not high cholesterol. And statin drugs will lower cholesterol, no question about it. But they're not saving anybody from heart attacks. And in fact, they're damaging the heart by blocking CoQ10. And then at least some doctors are finally supplementing with it, but I think that's a poor substitute for the real thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I got to come on the show today and talk to y'all.
We love it, Billy. Scott. So appreciate you. Kevin, Scott was on, I think it was last week we were chatting, and so he has really, really embraced this and just, you know, made a huge shift and even got in contact with Jeff Rockwell with exercising, and I just commend you, Scott, because you're doing the hard work, and I love seeing how you, the energy from how you're feeling is just so wonderful. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. And Jeff is an awesome guy. I had an hour conversation with him a couple days ago, and he's an awesome guy.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. You're a leader in this and an inspiration, so keep it up.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Scott. Be safe. Keep up the great work.
Yep, take care.
Okay, hey, Kevin, we're going to head to Ohio real quick. And keep saying real quick. I don't want this to be real quick. We're going to talk to Steve. So Steve, welcome to the show.
Hello. And guys, I'm down 20 pounds since the CMC from 230 to 210.
Wow,
so
congratulations.
I've got a suggestion, and I have a quick question also. But the suggestion I'll make for us guys on the road, it's worked really well for me, is anytime I'm in the morning getting ready to leave Petro or somewhere like that, I walk in and ask for a buffet to go and get all breakfast fat and fat and protein only, and put in that buffet to go, pay for it, usually $5 to $7 worth, and I end up eating on that all day. I don't eat it at one time. I don't eat buffets, because you eat a buffet, you're going to engorge yourself. So,
right.
But I love eggs. I love bacon. I love sausage. I love ham. I love fried bologna. They have that on there a lot of times. I put the onions on there and the cheese on top of the eggs. So basically I'm getting, the only carbs I'm getting are any stray carbs that might be in the onions, I suppose, but maybe
right.
I don't know if there's any in the cheese. But first off, that's my suggestion. It's working really well for me. Does that seem to be a problem, food, or does that food sound okay to kind of keep my fat high in my diet?
No, actually, it's the traditional breakfast foods that are actually some of the best for us to keep us in those right ratios. And, you know, let's think about that for a second. You know, even when I was a kid, and I'm 52, so I grew up in the 60s. In the 60s, you thought of breakfast food as bacon, eggs, sausage. I mean, that was breakfast food. And it was about the time when I was a kid, it probably happened earlier, but then we started looking at cereal as breakfast food and muffins and scones and bagels. And
yeah.
We were told eggs were bad for us and saturated fat was bad. And all we're really doing is going back to that same breakfast that, you know, we all hear the stories. But wait a minute. My grandparents ate 8 eggs a day and a half a pound of bacon and sausage, and they lived till they were 90. And we're told, oh, it's because they were more active. Bullshit. It's not. It has nothing to do with their activity. That was the food we were supposed to be eating. And when we switch to all these high-carb, high-sugar breakfast foods is when all the damage started happening. So those are good foods. Keep eating those, and I think that's a great idea when you're on the road. Stock up on them when you're heading out for the day and eat that food throughout the day.
Yeah, and I cook a bunch of omelets at home and freeze them and bring them with me, too. I mean, I can have some of that.
You're
talking about, though, with all the grain, I remember when I was growing up, you know, and I don't think they were being anti-Semitic or anything, but our grandfathers and fathers and all, we'd ask about Waffle Bagel, and they said, oh, that's Jewish food. In the 80s, it became breakfast food for everybody. And I remember it was mostly Jewish people that ate it back when I was a kid. I mean, I do remember that. And it was always Jewish bakeries that had it. There was not a Panera Bread that would have it or things like that. So it became mainstream when we hit all the grain, low-fat, high-carb, let's do all grain and whole healthy grain diets from the 80s on, and that's where we've gotten all of our fat, our Alzheimer's, and everything else. So diabetes, everything has just exploded at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me give you another tip when you are doing your omelets and that kind of thing. And this is something I had to start doing because one of the things I've said is it's so easy to overdo the protein. Is what I'll do now if I'm going to make an omelet, let's say I'm going to use 3 eggs or 4 eggs for an omelet, I'll use 2 whole eggs and 2 egg yolks, and I'll throw away 2 of the whites. The whites are super high in protein but have almost nothing else in them as far as nutrition. All the nutrition and the good fat is in the yolk. So I'll do about 50-50, whole eggs and egg yolks to make an omelet or even scrambled eggs that way.
Oh, that'll work good. And anytime I'm visiting my daughter, she will eat nothing but egg whites. I'll just take the yolks.
That's
there
right.
You
so,
go.
Yeah, that would work. Now, I have one quick question, and it's like a moment of weakness. Last night, you really hadn't had any carbs other than stray carbs all day. And when I parked, I went inside, inside the truck stop, got my shower, and I walked into Wendy's and got the little 99-cent Frosty. I wanted to throw it away when I looked up on the wall and saw 48 grams of sugar and 64 grams of carbs.
Wow.
the little bitty cup. Now, what is it that sometimes, I don't care how good we're doing, we get a craving for this? That little bit of ice cream or something. What is it that does that? Maybe if I'd had maybe a couple of pats of grass-fed butter, I could have stuck that in my mouth 5 minutes later, I'd have been over it, right?
usually you will find that when after you've been on this diet for a while and you've felt this new hunger control, right? I mean, you're to the point where you've seen
oh, yeah.
the changes in your... Yeah, so you understand what that feels like. And yet once in a while, those cravings will still happen and they feel like sugar cravings, carb cravings. The first thing you want to try is some good quality fat. And most of the time, 9 times out of 10, that'll work. If for some reason it doesn't, you know, try the Frosty, but try eating half of it and then waiting a little bit. It, and maybe it is really your body saying you need some carbs. Or, you know, try to load up on some better carbs, maybe some berries, you know, that'll get you some sugar. And won't be loaded with a lot of the bad stuff. But worst case scenario, let's say you eat the Frosty and you feel better. So what? Big deal. It was one Frosty. You know, you go back to eating your diet.
Right. And then, like I say, I sit there and thought about it. I said, wow, I just ruined the good day. But, you know, one thing I thought about, I said, well, at least I'm going to bed. You know, we don't realize just how much our body's working while we're sleeping. I reckon
right.
took care of it. And, you know, you always remember a little ice cream or a little bit of milk before we went to bed sometimes made us sleep better. That might have been part of the deal back then. Yeah, that might have been just it. I don't have those cravings. I very rarely do it. I keep the truck basically stocked with things that are good. What I found, a good tip is hummus or either avocado. You know, I'll smush it up. And dip pork rinds in it. Yeah, pork rinds are got all fat and
right.
no carbs. And you know, people, you know, that takes care of your salty snack because you don't have, you're not doing the other salty stuff that's just horrible for you. So, it's been a good journey. You saw me at 2:30 this year at the CMC, and I'm making it. I put it out there. 180 is the goal for next CMC, and the last 40 years of my 100 years. I'm 60.
let's do this then. Your target weight is 180, and so is mine. And I'll just try to meet you there.
There you go. And I do need to do a little more resistance training. I do have one question about that. Now, I've always had kind of bad elbows and shoulders, so I've done like 15-pound weight to do more of the a lot more reps, like 30 or 40. But you mentioned, I think the one they got at Walmart, you can have anywhere from 5 to 25 on it if you can build it. Would it be better for me to try at times when the shoulder and the elbow feel good to try the 25 and just do 8 or 10? Is that better for me when I am doing the resistance?
Yeah, let me tell you what you should do, especially when you have some pain, some joint pain, tendon pain, things like that. But really, this is a better way to work out for everybody. The dumbbells that I use actually go all the way up to 52.5 pounds, and they're fully adjustable. They are absolutely amazing. I love these things. But here's what you want to do. You want to pick a weight, whatever the weight is, that you can do no more than 8 reps with. But what people tend to do when they think of going low rep, high weight, they go to such a high weight that they're actually cheating the movement. And that's what causes or aggravates the injuries. So you might actually go down in weight, but what I want you to do is I want you to do the movement super strict and super slow.
Yeah.
And this is so
it's
different. I mean,
I'm doing it so fast. I'm probably not helping myself any when I'm doing it like that. Right. I see what you mean.
Yeah. So it's hard to get used to, but it is a much better use of your time, and it really cuts down on injuries because you're not trying to use these crazy high weights, but we are still not doing super high reps. We want to do 6 or 8, but we want to push the weight really, really slow, and then we want to bring the weight back to the other position really, really slow. People, when they go heavy weight, seem to, like, you know, push like crazy to get it up and then almost let it fall back down. Well, you're wasting that whole motion. Why not go up really slow and down really slow? And also, don't lock out the joint. At the top of the movement, stop just before the joint locks out. So, for example, if you're doing squats, don't ever lock your knees at the top, not even for a half a second, because all you're doing is taking the weight off the muscle and putting it on the joint and giving the muscle a rest. Instead, right before the knees lock, start going back down slow. You will be amazed. Sometimes you'll have to cut the weight you use in half, but it really cuts down on the injuries, and you get much more out of the movement.
And probably since I've been into this for a couple of months, I'm already seeing less inflammation, like in knees and things like that, because of the way I'm eating. The elbows and the shoulders may be not nearly as bad with more weight now either. I mean, but I will work on the technique. It'd probably be a good idea for me to actually look at a couple of YouTube videos, make sure I'm doing, by somebody that's an expert, just to make sure I'm doing things exactly right. Because, yeah, I do. I tend to get going way too fast. And everybody said you need to do, everything needs to be really nice, slow, and methodical. And I can see that. That's definite. Because even at 60, we definitely need resistance training also. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I use the truck a lot of times. I'll do 250 push-ups against the, foot rail on the side, things like that. And I've been doing that for a long time, but I do those a little slower, and that's probably good. I do that. The chest feels a lot better. It's just, when I was at 230, it was really tough getting down and doing too many push-ups on the ground. But we use our truck. We're in a position where we have to use what we've got out here. We don't have Planet Fitness sit beside us all the time at the truck stop. So we use what we can. But, the big thing is the effort and working at it. Everybody out here really appreciates. I know you got one or two trolls on Facebook that don't appreciate what y'all are doing with health. But I do, because, when we focus on things, we work on it. And it's like you always talk about, whether it's fuel economy, whether it's your finances, whether it's your numbers on your truck, home finances, your relationship with your wife, or this, on eating and being healthier, when you focus on it, you will do better, for sure.
That's right.
We appreciate everything y'all do, though.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Steve, you're awesome. Have a great weekend. It's good hearing you and talking to you. Well, hey, Kevin, this is an exciting show, I think, because it's just the whole thing, the way the show started, the way we all started with help with Let's Truck, and seeing it now grow and having you do more with it and take it even more places and teaching us. So I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not sure if we'll be able to pull this off by next Friday or not, but one of the changes we're going to make is that we're just going to change the format of this recording just a little bit, and I'll explain so everybody knows what's going to happen. We are going to start recording this hour in a 4-segment so that it fits the clock at SiriusXM. And then we can also have this show being played on SiriusXM. Right now, my Saturday and Sunday night shows are all repeats. So you and I can take this show, format it in that clock, and then we can get more and more people listening to this on, possibly Saturday and Sunday night on Sirius.
That's so awesome. That is so exciting. Okay. Good
deal.
It is
exciting.
Yeah, I'm going to grow. So, probably won't be ready until next week, and we're going to chat about it more, I think, early next week and see where this takes us. So I am so grateful, Kevin. This is exciting.
It is. Thank you for leading this effort and all the work you've brought to it and the great guests. And, it's just so, and I don't even know the words, when people call and say they've lost this weight, they feel better, they have more energy, they're off 2 and 3 different medications, it's just so gratifying. I just feel so blessed that as a company and a team together, we have this opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. Well, thank you for that. Okay, Kevin, we're going to wrap up here. So, you guys, I just want to say I'm going to throw out this happy birthday to our Let's Talk team member, Brittany, and my daughter. So happy to have her and part of this team we have. It's just so great. But just, you know what, everybody, thank you for joining us today. And I hope you see how much you matter to us and your health matters to us. And we appreciate the time you are putting to this. So know you're a part of this movement, a part of this Destination Health and Let's Trust team. The DNA, I said, you know, you're just part of it. So come back next week, continue to build and tell your own story of your best self. So strap on the shoes and grab your water bottle. We're going to get going. So until next week, keep learning, keep moving, be committed to you and a leader out there on the roads at home in this health journey. Be healthy, be fit, do the hard work, and master this journey to health. We appreciate you guys. Have a great weekend. Bye for now.